Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Warm up the grill, grab a beverage, and paint your face.
What is that?
I painted my face.
You painted your face?
Yeah.
This is Danny and Dusty on Wildcard Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Why?
Well, you know, support the team.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Oh, ah!
Hey, welcome in!
I wasn't sure if you
Happy
knew what to
Monday.
Do there. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, it has been. Well, it's been a while for both of us to be here because I was gone all of last week, but I was here on that Friday when you weren't.
Indeed.
So, yeah, I was gone at the Rose Bowl. Boy, that was a great trip, and the game.
It was a game.
Yeah, that thing turned on us really quick.
Did the family go to the game?
Yeah, they did.
Great experience.
It was a really cool experience. Rose Bowl's great to go to.
It's a great viewing experience.
We will talk about that game because the way that it went, I wasn't obviously here on Thursday or Friday, but the way that thing went, it went in a hurry, and that Ohio State team, my goodness, do they look really stinking good. They look really good. Jeremiah Smith is enormous.
Mutant.
Enormous. Enormous. So we'll talk about that game today. But yeah, we went down. Other than that, it was sunny. It was like on Thursday, it was like 77
degrees. You were enjoying the sun.
Got a little bit of a tan.
Yeah, monster.
Yeah, it was great. I heard it just rained here the whole time.
Oh, it was absolutely craptacular.
Well, I brought the sun back, so how about that?
Pouring.
How about this? Sunny, nice, feeling good out here.
We call it nice.
It is nice. Outside right now, I drove in and it was sun shining. It's like got to be like 50.
It's got to be like 50.
Yeah, yeah. If people don't like it, you can move back to California, everyone. You know, this is what us, 50, Russ 52. Is with me over there. It's 52. It's hot. It's January. Let's go. Russ is with me. This is a beautiful January day.
Yeah, we can't gripe about this too much.
See, this is fantastic.
Look, the 10-day is basically 50 degrees.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
It's weird.
That's great.
It's weird. It's also the lows are like 34. So.
Don't worry about that. Don't go out when it's cold. You'll be fine.
So it reaches 50 for like 45 minutes, then it just goes back down.
Yeah, it's it's like the desert. Yeah. You know, hot in the day, cold at night.
Cold at night. Real cold at night.
Yeah, we'll call this the desert light here in the Willamette Valley. Everybody else good? Have a good weekend, everyone?
Yeah, I mean footballed hard.
Boy, did it.
Footballed hard.
What a great NFL weekend. Mm. You know, there were only, heading into the action, there were only two games that had zero playoff implications. Yeah. As the day went on, obviously, that got whittled down. But only two games heading into the football weekend that had zero playoff implications.
And the Panthers played in one that mattered.
The Panthers did. And I think I was the last person to give up on Bryce Young. Mm. And I was like, well, I mean, he's really young. And did you not just his name?
Yeah, no.
Give him some time. He has looked good the last handful of games.
I'll stray away from good because the bar was the floor.
No, he's looked good.
But he's passable.
Passable?
Passable.
I mean, he went 25 of 34, 251, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good day.
Sure.
That's a pretty good day. I will say Bryce Young, I'm gonna golf clap your little turnaround. And Dave Canales, what do we say about Dave Canales? Quarterback whisper? Think of what Dave Canales has done.
Baker.
Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield. Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, and Bryce Young in consecutive years.
Not too bad. And Baker just finished the season. We can talk about this at some point in time when we discuss MVP stuff.
Mm.
Did you see the line that Baker Mayfield ended the season with?
No.
4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good.
It's really good.
I mean, we're sportsing really hard right now. But
yeah, we are.
This is what happens when we don't talk for 2 weeks.
I know. There's a lot of sports that we need to get to. Mm-hmm. We've got to get, I want to know, playoffs are set. Which turnaround is the most impressive of the mm-hmm. playoff teams? Think of it. I'd give you three. I'll add a fourth in there. Okay. You've got the Denver Broncos, mm-hmm. which with a rookie quarterback and a coach that people were like, Sean Payton, games passed him by. He gone. You have the Los Angeles Chargers, okay,
mm-hmm.
where they were a 4-win team a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Harbaugh was pretty
good. What he does.
Pretty, yeah, big factor there. Commanders had the second overall pick mm-hmm. in this year's
second
draft.
Second biggest turnaround in NFL history.
New head coach comes in. And
8 more wins.
It was a retread that people were like, oh, good luck with Dan Quinn. They were really dang good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll throw the Minnesota Vikings in there, too. Because Minnesota last year mm-hmm. was, they were not a playoff team last year. Remember, like, it was one of those seasons where if it could go wrong, it did go wrong. Kind of Cincinnati Bengals-esque. I think they were, 7-10 last year? Is that what they were? Yeah, 7-10.
And their record in one-score games the year before was the best in the NFL. I think it went to the worst in the NFL. And now it's, I think, back to the second best in the NFL.
Yeah, but then they head into this year, no Kirk Cousins. J.J. Mm-hmm. McCarthy gets injured at the beginning of the year, and everybody's like, good luck with that. And Sam Darnold.
Because they were going to give McCarthy the keys.
Yeah, Sam Darnold leads that damn team to a 14-3 record, and they play for the number one overall seed in the last game of the season.
Did you see the stat?
That's a pretty good turnaround. Doubled their win total.
35th season straight in the NFL with four new teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, that is
That's
about
insane.
Right.
That's insane.
Yeah.
35 straight years of four new playoff teams.
Dang.
That's just cycling through, man.
That's incredible. And then another year.
That's why you
year,
can't go chalk.
It's another year where we have a worst to first, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't finish first. But a worst team into the playoffs in the Commanders mm-hmm. finished dead last, 4-13 in the division last year. And they go and they make the playoffs, only behind the Philadelphia Eagles, who are the 2 seed in the NFC.
I mean, they had an opportunity at one point in time to win the division.
Teams that finished last year made the playoffs in their division. Commanders, Chargers. That's pretty good.
Not too shabby.
That's not too shabby one bit. So we got playoff questions. It's Black Monday in the National Football League, which that's a heck of a deal. It's hard because you think of also, it's like on the surface, we're all like, get a new coach and fire him. You think about when a team fires a head coach, how many lives change?
It's insane.
Because it's not just the head coach going, it is
the staff, everybody. It's the analysts,
lot of the support staff that's around the organization. We got 5 open jobs in the NFL. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about those.
When head coaches come in and when they leave, they bring a lot of people and they take a lot of people with them.
Yep. Yep. And that's the hard part about it, man. You attach yourself to a head coach. And that's like, we talk about this when you look at assistant coaches, right? We looked at this with the Blazers this year, right? Like, it's going to be hard for Chauncey Billups to fill out his staff, is the conversation we had over the summer, when a lot of the assistants that you're bringing on are going, how much time does he have?
Yeah, we all know it's going to be a lame duck season.
You know what the year is. The year is not to win. No. So that becomes a very difficult thing to do. But when you attach yourself to a head coach, you're attaching yourself to the success and failures of the organization, too. And you could be boop, boop, gone. In those head coaches, it's a lot easier for them to go and get another gig because everybody wants to bring the guy on who's had the experience of being the head coach, right? It can become a lot tougher if you're one of those position coaches, analysts, support guy, people to go and get a job after that. But it is Black Monday in the NFL. We have, I think the more surprising is some of the organizations that have kept people in place. So we have that to discuss today as well. Blazers had themselves a weekend.
Hey,
take that, Dame. Grass isn't always greener on the other side, is it? Milwaukee.
Meanwhile, Chris Middleton's out for ankle problems again.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yikes, dog.
That's tough.
Yikes, dog.
And then, I have a new fun game of performance bonuses.
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
We had some big performance bonus day yesterday in the NFL. And one of them was a gamble of all gambles. Mm. But I love to watch these performance bonuses because guys like Saquon Barkley didn't play week 17. Eric Dickerson, your record is safe. And he didn't play in the 17th game. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, you know what? You weren't here for this. Dickerson says all this. He got an extra game over O.J. Simpson. So he can just shut up.
Yeah, he did. I think he had two extra games over O.J.
So the whole idea of like, well, he has an extra game. Like, yeah, so did you, dummy.
Yeah, well.
Convenient.
Don't get in the way of his argument. What? Come on.
It was like Mercury Morris getting like, well, you didn't go 14-0 undefeated. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, no, they went 17-0.
The Patriots went 18-1. Yeah. They just didn't win the Super Bowl. You know, they won a lot of games in a row. Where was I?
Sorry, I derailed you.
Yeah, you did. You sure did, boss.
Bonuses.
Don't know. It's gone.
Bonuses and incentives.
I don't know. It was somewhere around
the
there.
Lions went chasing one that didn't even really matter. They tried to get Jameson Williams 1,000 yards.
Yeah, they just
wanted to get him 1,000 yards.
There was no money on the line. They just wanted to get him those 1,000 yards.
It's a nice round number. It's because it's like Mike Evans. Like, if you do it enough years in a row, he's 11 years now. Nobody else but Jerry Rice and him have done it.
Dude, that was badass. We have draft picks.
Oh, yes, the draft order.
The draft order hath been set.
Which led to a coach getting fired.
Yeah. Yeah. The head coach of my favorite team.
Mm.
He got fired because this is why teams tank, players and coaches do not tank. And Gerard Mayo lost his job because of it.
Was it worth it?
I don't know. Pride can get you pretty far.
Can.
I think it, no the matter what is going to happen.
I know we're getting so sportsy, but the whole idea of like, we're going to start Drake May and then take him out after a series. It was like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
What is happening here? What are you doing?
Yeah. What is it you do here? As this text on the Vancouver Ford text line points out, it's not about who does it in more games, who does it in fewer carries. Yeah, that was my argument the entire time. Saquon Barkley was going to break Eric Dickerson's record with fewer carries than Eric Dickerson. That would have been sweet. I think that's what we should acknowledge these records upon now. But as it is, Saquon did not play, so it's a moot point, and Eric Dickerson can now go back and cry in his T-top Camaro that he got from SMU. All right?
It'll happen.
Oh, somebody's going to be like, wasn't Camaro, it was a Firebird. Okay, sorry. It's Firebird.
It's a Fiero.
All right, let's start. The NFL playoff field is set. A wild week 18 gave us our brackets for the National Football League's playoffs. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a
Wildcard Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
That is me. All right, the NFL playoffs are set. The bracket is set for the NFL postseason. I do love a good bracket. Number one overall seed in the AFC is the Kansas City Chiefs. They went 15-2.
God, it's so decent gross year that you can lay down like that.
Well, to the Broncos?
God.
Dude, nobody was beating Bo Nix yesterday. they tried to put nobody on the field.
I was saying, there were three players away from you and I being eligible to play. That was bad.
Dude, Bo Nix starting that game, did he go 18-for-18 out of the gate? I think he completed his first 18 passes.
I think
passes.
That's right. They said something about the most consecutive passes completed for a rookie.
That is really damn hard to do against air. I mean, there was some defense out there, but he finished the game 26 of 29, 321 and 4 touchdowns. That would be, for those counting at home, more touchdowns than incompletions for Bo Nix. Pretty good little game, but 38-0 and a blowout. Nope. Patrick, I don't want to even go down the list of guys that weren't playing because there was
so many people gone. Does Cortland Sutton send like a $5,000 watch to each player on the Chiefs defense that day? What does he do? Like, he has to do something for them.
Well, you're talking because he got a hefty bonus out of the deal. I believe it was $250,000. Or no, $500,000.
Yeah, his was bigger.
Holy guacamole. He got a half milli bonus.
Because he wasn't close.
He was 85 yards, and he ended up with 98 on the game.
85's a...
Probably. You probably give him a little something.
That's not impossible. That's also not like a given.
But the Chiefs rolled over. Now they're going to have, again, do you see what their layoff is for their starters that didn't play? 25 days.
Good God.
So this goes back to the difference between pros and college, and there's a lot of people, complaining about Oregon in the layoff. And well, really, you could say this for all of the teams that got a bye, because all of them lost in the college football playoff. But everybody's saying, that layoff is too long. It's the exact same.
It's actually longer.
Is what the
25 days
Chiefs are going through. And so you look at it in those terms and you go, well, that's the difference between being a pro and being a college athlete still and getting used to those long layoffs when another team doesn't have one quite as long. But 38-0, the Broncos win.
When's the last time a team had less than 100 yards of total offense? Because that's what the Chiefs did.
Oh, I bet it would be more recent than you think. I bet the Panthers did it this year.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, there was like a Bryce Young game where he threw for like 67 yards. I think that was the one before he got benched.
Yeah, I don't know, but Carson Wentz was not great.
He was not good, but also he was under duress.
Oh. Do you know the NFL record for the fewest all-purpose yards in a game?
No.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, no.
Back in 1979.
Oh, God.
Against the Rams had negative 7 yards.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's obviously pre-Largent Seahawks. Is that the Dickerson? 79 is the Dickerson Rams, isn't it?
No, that is not. Because he was the Pony Express in the 84 or 83. The Broncos had negative 5 back in 67. I'm looking more recently.
God, that was a 9-7 Rams team. It wasn't even like a great Rams team.
Hey, we had the 2021 Chicago Bears had 47 yards of offense against the Cleveland Browns and somehow scored 6 points. That's incredible.
Oh my God.
How about that?
Pat Hayden was the quarterback.
The 2023 Arizona Cardinals had 58 yards. And they lost also to the Browns. Dude, juggernaut Browns.
This is... Oh, okay. You know what? They did have Jack London.
So that was just last year. Okay. The Arizona Cardinals had 58 yards November 5th against the Cleveland Browns.
And that's early in the season.
November 5th?
Yeah. It's not the end of the year. Late.
Yeah. That's not good. Not good.
God. Well, that Browns team last year defensively wasn't.
Yeah.
Absolute buzzsaw.
So I can say with confidence, Last year was the last time a team
had less than 100 yards.
Less than 100 yards, and they had 58.
What did they finish with? Was this 98?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeesh.
They pulled the ripcord on that game. They weren't trying to win it. So
I mean, clearly.
Chiefs are the one seed. The Detroit Lions are the one seed in the NFC. They had, and that was a game that had everything on the line yesterday. That was the one game that everybody was frothing at the mouth for, because you had the final game of the regular season. Everything comes down to the number one overall seed, two divisional foes, Minnesota. They snatch up 1,900 tickets to Ford Field, which is awesome, by the way. Mm. That is great. The Will family going and buying. Did you see this story?
Mm-mm.
So the Vikings ownership, they went and bought 1,900 tickets directly behind the Lions or the Vikings bench, mm-hmm. and they sold them at a discount to their season ticket holders.
That's pretty dope.
So they said, "You guys, you know, if we want to have fans in a game that means everything, we're going to make sure we have some."
Because the Lions fans turned out for that game.
Yeah. And that's where I go back to, there's not, like, we talk about bad sports towns a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's not bad sports towns. There's bad franchises mm-hmm. in sports towns. And that is why
Detroit fans give a crap.
They do give a crap.
Like, when the Pistons are good, when the Red Wings are good, when the Tigers are good, they show out for that, for those. I mean, did you hear Tony Dungy before the game? He's like, "I can't remember the last time I was on a field where it was this loud pregame."
I think the one sports town that we can say is not a good sports town is Miami.
Because
even when they're good, they show up late.
They leave early.
I will say Miami, bad sports.
Yeah, when the Marlins have been really good, they kind of show up.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here, guys?
All sports towns are good sports towns if your franchise is competent.
Yeah.
Right?
But
then you will show up and show out. But last night, it was a beatdown, man. And I was, after all those injuries, I was out on the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Then it took me less than 24 hours to hear Dan Campbell's speech.
Be right back
in. And I was right back in. Now, I think I'm more in than ever.
What's crazy is that game, we can talk about it more in detail, was they played that game functionally with one corner, and then they didn't have one corner. And Aaron Glenn just said, "I'm going to send at least six every play. Good luck."
And I don't know how this finishes for the Lions. Like,
can they get healthy enough?
But no, and the answer is probably no, right? The answer to that is probably not. But this story is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think it says more when you have a team that has the injuries that they have had and they continue to still churn out wins. This is a 15-2 team, right? Like, I bet there is a stretch where you could go through five full seasons maybe of Lions football where they haven't achieved 15 combined wins. They get 5 wins this year. And that to me is, it's not just really good, you know, drafting and having superior talent and all that. With the amount of injuries they've had, they developed that talent, mm-hmm. man. And they are doing a phenomenal job of squeezing every ounce out of the talent that they do have, because what we've talked about is, well, yeah, they've been drafting so high for so long, you know, it's about time. No, they are hitting it out of the ballpark with their draft picks. And then with the other guys on the back end of their roster, they're making them better as they're in Detroit, because that is why they are still winning games in 15-2.
I thought it was pretty interesting, the contrast between how both those rosters were built, though, between the Vikings and the Lions. There's not nearly as much in-house homegrown talent on the Vikings. There's a lot of, I don't want to say mercenaries, but they spent a ton on free agents, but free agents that mattered. Like, you go up and down that roster, yeah, you've got a Harrison Smith, and yeah, you've got a Justin Jefferson, and which, again, two very good players, but you look at both sides of the ball, it's free agents everywhere.
Yeah.
It's free agents everywhere on that team. And it's interesting because normally free agency is not a way that you build your team, but the Vikings were incredibly good and very measured on who they went and got and who they spent money on. And if you look up and down those rosters, if you look at, you know, drafted in-house guys versus out-of-house guys, it's a direct contrast between both those teams, and yet both very successful. And it shows that you don't necessarily have to be a draft and develop team. You can live in both worlds where, you know, there's been always, I think there's been this ad, particularly over the last 10 years, of you can't build a team through free agency. Pretty clearly you can.
Yeah, you can, but at the same time, your core has got to be guys that that you do draft and develop.
Sure.
Right?
Which, like, again, Harrison core. Smith, Justin Jefferson, like, you know,
yeah,
big-time players. Yes.
They are.
But also, their two best pass rushers aren't.
No, they're not. No, and they, like, there's certain places that you can go and you can do that, and they didn't do it at quarterback either, which is one of the positions that you probably should. But they do have their shortcomings, and a lot of people out on Sam Darnold now after last night, saying he was just so atrocious. He was seeing ghosts again. We're out on Sam Darnold. I'm not. I just think that Lions team last night, Dan Campbell knows how to push their buttons, and in no way, shape, or form was Sam Darnold good last night. I mean, he was seeing ghosts, right? It did look like New York Jets Sam Darnold. And I don't think that is a big game issue with Sam Darnold. They're 14-3. They've played some really good teams so far this year, and they've come out on the good side of it. I think that was more of that offense of the Detroit Lions. When they decide they're going to put a drive together, it's like football porn.
It's the Ides of March.
They run the ball right down your throat. They will. Jared Goff is so good when they have those methodical drives of picking and choosing his shots. They had the longest play of the night was 23 yards offensively for them. So it wasn't like they were just killing you with chunk plays down the
field. Was that the Gibbs play?
No, that was Amon-Ra.
Oh, okay.
I was talking passing play. So yeah, Gibbs had a 47-yard run. Yeah. But it was like he was just nickel and diming you down the field, and that is your play caller and your quarterback on the same page in the same rhythm. And they had several of those drives for Detroit last night. On the flip side of it, it looked like just something was off with Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold. They just couldn't get it rolling, and that's the result that you get. They looked lethargic at times. I'm not out on Sam Darnold or this Vikings team.
No, the team that went 14-3, I don't think you can be out on.
But if you are, and this is where I say no playoff is perfect, right? Everybody is complaining about, you know, Oregon's drawn their tough road as the number one overall seed in the college football playoff. How about if you're the Eagles and you're like, oh, sweet. You know, we get the Packers, right? The Rams won their division. They get a 14-3 team. Guess who the Lions are going to have to play in the next round? Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Vikings for a third time this year.
Good God.
Which that could change some things a little bit. So in the NFC, Lions are your one seed. Eagles are the two seed. Third seed is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they went to the well and got Mike Evans his bonus and held off the Saints. Four seed is the Rams. They will play the Vikings. The sixth seed is the Commanders, who will go to Tampa Bay to play on the Buccaneers. And then the Eagles host the Green Bay Packers. On the AFC side, Chiefs are the one seed. Bills are the two. Third seed is the Baltimore Ravens. The fourth seed is the Texans, who will host the Chargers on Saturday afternoon. That just seems like a game that fits in my brain. Texans Chargers on a Saturday.
I mean, yeah, it's I saw somebody post a meme of the Texans being the first game on Wild Card Saturday to play on the NFL channel, you know, kind of a deal. Like, here we go again.
Game's on Nickelodeon. That seems like a game that will be the Nickelodeon game. Is Texans Chargers. Then the sixth seed is the Steelers. They will go to Baltimore for the Ravens in a rematch of a game, I don't know, we just saw. And then the Bills will host the Denver Broncos because Denver won at home against Kansas City. And those uniforms are sweet. Weren't those uniforms awesome?
Yes.
The Orange Crush Broncos uniforms?
They are good.
That was so good.
I just hate that they are good.
That's a great look.
It is.
It's elite.
Look, the NFL, most of their 80s era jerseys are nothing but complete bangers.
Yeah. Give me wild card round. I know that it'll never happen because they don't have the throwback road jerseys. Give me the Bills in red helmets. Give me like 1991 Bills versus Broncos uniform matchup where the Broncos are wearing their white road uniforms. Mm-hmm. Bills go back to the red helmet and blue jersey, the white Kelly's. Pants. Yeah, give that to me.
Yeah, that'd be a good traditional matchup.
Yeah. I think we should go wild card weekend is throwback weekend.
Nothing but throwbacks.
Unless you're the Denver Broncos and you go the way throwbacks. Remember when they were in the brown and yellow?
Oh God, yeah, those are bad. And the same with the Packers
with the vertically striped socks.
The
is
Acme
what they
Packers
had.
Ones. Yeah. Those are also a train wreck.
We can leave those ones.
Hard pass on those.
70s and 80s only. Give me those throwbacks.
I like that. I like it.
All right. So playoffs are set, and we talked about the Lions and the Vikings game, and we briefly hit on that Chiefs Bills game, but the benchmark that we saw last night, or I guess yesterday afternoon, the Buccaneers, that was a dogfight for the NFC South. It is a horrible division that came down to the wire of all four teams saying, you know what? We suck the least. First is Russ with SportsCenter.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Detroit Lions, they mopped the floor with the Minnesota Vikings. It really kind of took a lot of the luster out of what could have been an awesome finale to the NFL regular season. It was, 10-6 at halftime. Through three quarters, you're like, maybe if I squint, this is a good game. But Sam Darnold gave you no reason to believe it was going to be close.
No.
And then the fourth quarter, the Lions just kind of ran away and ended up winning 31-9. The more intriguing and enthralling divisional matchups heading into the weekend were the NFC South as it played out. The Carolina Panthers knock off the Atlanta Falcons 44-38. I repeat, the Carolina Panthers scored 44 points, and Bryce Young was their quarterback.
Lies.
Bryce Young, the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, guiding them to 44 points. And he went 25-34, 251, three touchdowns, zero interceptions, and took zero sacks. That may be the most incredible turnaround that we've seen this year. You labeled Bryce Young, and it was not unfair at the time, no redeemable qualities about his quarterbacking early
in the year. Yes, he couldn't throw it short, he couldn't throw it deep, he wouldn't take it and run. Like, there was nothing about him that was redemptive.
Him taking a seat on the bench, Andy Dalton going in and taking over the starting job, and then what we have seen from Bryce Young over the last handful of games, it's been impressive. I mean, because I think you have to sit there and you have to think of where he was. Has he thrown for 300 yards? No, he hasn't. But the reality of Bryce Young in his last three starts, he has thrown seven touchdowns, zero interceptions.
Super useful.
Yeah. And to me, that is the biggest sign of progress where Dave Canales, remember what Dave Canales said at the beginning of the year? Like, this year for Bryce Young is loving him up and getting confidence back in him, because he had three different people telling him three different ways to run the same offense last year. And he said the kid was broken. And you saw that at the beginning of the year. Now, I'm not here to say that Bryce Young will be a Pro Bowler at any point. And yes, I am accounting for all of the people who opt out of Pro Bowls. I don't think he'll be a Pro Bowler, but the fact that he can become a serviceable quarterback and end up having a career, whether it is as a starter or a backup, is something I didn't think that we may be able to see.
I thought he would get through the end of this year and his career might be done.
But Caleb Canales? Yeah. No.
Heather Canales.
Dave Canales has done an incredible job of getting through to him and seeing growth and adjustments. They end up beating the Atlanta Falcons, who in that game, they had a playoff spot that they were vying for. Michael Penix Jr., it was not bad.
I thought,
pretty bad.
I mean, the pick was bad, but I thought Penix was actually pretty good. How many deflections? I think it was eight. Was it eight the Panthers broke up eight passes.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought a lot of those weren't like bad throws by Penix as opposed to good plays by Panther defenders. And I was like,
oh, big Penix energy, man.
Yeah,
it's
He made some throws where I was like, damn, that's a tight window. And Drake London made a bunch of, I mean, how many, I want to say London had an obscene,
10 for 187.
18 targets, though.
Yeah.
Look, for all of the Kirk Cousins, like, not getting Kyle Pitts the ball, there was also, like, maybe get Drake London the ball. If there's one thing that Michael Penix loves to do, it's to get his best receiver the ball. See Adunze, Rome. Like,
Jalen McMillan.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing with guys. And like, I think that as you start seeing Penix get rolling, you're going to see that become more and more a thing. And I thought Penix was playing really well. I just thought, weirdly enough, the Panthers matched.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was weird to see.
In that game, as Carolina wins in overtime, we had a game going down to the wire in Tampa Bay where it was the Bucs end up beating the Saints 27-19. So it was a one-score game. And at the very end of the game, I thought it was really cool. The Buccaneers get the ball back in a one-score game, up 8, but with 36 seconds left. Mike Evans had a lot on the line here, okay? There were two big things, and we talk about this often in the final week of the NFL's regular season, the performance bonus chasing.
Mm-hmm.
He had $3 million in bonuses on
the line. That's a lot.
That's
a lot of money.
That's
not a $200,000 bonus. You know, that's a big old chunk of change.
Because he needed five catches and 85 yards mm-hmm. receiving.
And we talked about with Cortland Sutton being, you know, in the same kind of boat.
Yeah. He ended up getting 9 catches, 89 yards.
Just enough.
But it wasn't about the receptions or yards as it pertains to $3 million bonus. It had everything to do with the fact that they wanted him to get his 1,000-yard season.
His 11th.
And
straight.
That ties Jerry Rice for the most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons in NFL history. And Baker Mayfield was talking about this after the game, and he said, heading into that final play, we knew we couldn't turn the ball over. We knew he was going to be double teamed. How are we going to scheme him open and get him 5 extra yards? You know, that was the important thing. And so they motion him across the formation. They get him open. Boom. He gets 9 yards because you send 8 catches, 80 yards. He needed only 5. He gets 9 out of it, and they equal that record for Mike Evans, which Mike Evans may be one of the most underappreciated receivers in NFL history.
He's my favorite wide receiver this generation.
He is a guy that, like, Larry Fitzgerald is always, I'm just going to do everything for the team. But Larry Fitzgerald always got the shine of being, no, that guy's the best receiver in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like that, you may say, you know, X, Y, or Z are a better receiver. Larry Fitzgerald is that guy. And everybody kind of agreed upon that. Mike Evans is now 11 consecutive seasons at over 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. He was a guy that at the beginning of his career, when this was starting, this run, he wasn't even considered a top 5 receiver mm-hmm. in the NFL. And now you look at that 11 consecutive seasons, that's obviously over 11,000 yards receiving. This guy's going to go down as a surefire Hall of Famer.
And a top 10 wide receiver of all time.
I
went down this list this weekend with 3 other people. And you get through the top 5 very quickly. After that, you start going through it real quick, and you're like, holy crap, he is right there.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be the hard thing mm-hmm. is...
Because of the lack of team success.
Well,
You only had that one run.
See, I take out the even like a lot of the team success because Calvin Johnson...
He's the one that is no team success, insane top 5.
Is one of those guys. Mm-hmm. But if you go down like... All right, receiving leaders in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Obviously, you have Jerry Rice, and then you have Larry Fitzgerald,
mm-hmm.
Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Isaac Bruce mm-hmm. is 5th on yards, Tony Gonzalez, Tim Brown, Steve Smith Sr., Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, mm-hmm. Andre Johnson, James Lofton, Chris Carter, Anquan Boldin, Henry Ellard, Julio Jones. Those are your top 15.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I can cut 5 guys out of that list that I would put Mike over with. Mike to me is the bigger version of Tim Brown in this generation.
See, that's where I would go. It's like, all right, I'm going to put Tim Brown in there. I'm going to mm-hmm. put, and I'm going to take Tony Gonzalez out because he's a tight end.
Yes.
Okay. So if you take Tim Brown out, I'm not moving Marvin Harrison out of there.
Okay, that's fair.
I wouldn't move Marvin Harrison. I don't know who I would move out, and then you have to think of it in these. I'd move Chris Carter in there. Like, Chris Carter yes. is absolutely 100%. That guy, right? So if I'm moving one guy out and putting one guy into that top 10, where's the room for Mike Evans in
that's nine, isn't it?
But then I'm also a guy who does not, who's not on that list, but I will, when you watched him, I said, no, that guy's special. Mm. It's Calvin Johnson, right? There's nobody who watched Calvin no. Johnson play and was like, that's one of the best receivers of all time.
Of all time, yeah.
And so he goes into that.
Oh, Bruce was the one that I took out.
You take Isaac Bruce out?
Yeah.
Greatest show on turf?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a really hard one for me to move off of is Isaac Bruce. He was so dominant for so long. My order, it would not be
in the order
of those guys, but I don't know if I could pull him off of that list. And then I would say, all right, what are we going to do with guys like Michael Irvin?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What do you do with guys that are currently playing like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, who when their careers are going to be, when it's all said and done, those guys will be in that conversation as well. Like, it's a really hard list, but the point being, yeah. Mike Evans should be in that conversation. And I don't think he gets put in there nearly enough.
And it's insane because you look at his production. It's not like it's not fake yards. You know what I mean? It's not, he's the only time he's
outside of the last nine this year.
Yeah, but I'm saying he never played, like, with the exception of the Brady years.
Yeah,
he never played within an offense that was prolific.
Yeah, but Steve Largent it could be one of those guys too yeah. that it should be in this conversation that people are going to forget about. Lynn Swann.
Yeah,
Lynn Swann.
Good Lord.
Yeah,
but I mean the same thing with Tim Brown. Mm-hmm. Tim Brown did not play in prolific offenses until Rich Gannon. That's at the tail end of his career. Go look at the quarterbacks that were throwing to Tim Brown. It is rough.
Yeah.
Still really damn good.
But he was phenomenal. And I think you can say the same thing about Larry Fitzgerald for most of his career.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have guys that like were really good, like Fred Biletnikoff. He was pretty good. He has an award named after him.
He is.
But they just like didn't throw the ball.
No.
Back then, which I always love, is like when you have a quarterback that people don't want to give credit to, they'll bring up Joe Namath. It's like, what did you want Joe Namath to do?
Yeah.
Oh, the dude just won. Did you want him to revolutionize the game of football before anybody else did? Because, okay.
Easy there, friend Tarkenton.
but there are the guys in a bygone era of football that mm-hmm. should be in that consideration. And there will be guys that will ultimately that are playing right now, they'll vault themselves up into that conversation.
Chase and Jefferson stay healthy, they're going to put up crooked numbers.
Yes, they will. And it's the era that they play in, just like it's the era that a lot of these guys that are considered like the top 10 playing now.
You look at the running backs, you know.
Yeah.
The reason Saquon's year was so special was because we don't see it.
Which makes guys like, you know, I mentioned Largent, but guys like, you know, Largent and Irving Fryer mm-hmm. and Art Monk those guys that played for a really long time.
For those awful Cardinal teams.
And you're like, yeah, maybe they were really damn good. And they're the ultimate, if I would have played now. Yeah, you're probably right. If you did play now, would be putting up ridiculous
You go back
numbers.
And look at those Redskins teams that Art Monk played for, and it's like, you're looking around like,
oh, Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, though they ran the ball a lot. How did you put up those numbers?
He did. They were crazy. They were crazy. I like this. Why no mention of Julian Edelman? Yes, he had Brady, but dude still had to get open and got three Super Bowls. Yeah, Julian Edelman is really good. I just don't think he's a top 10 receiver in NFL history.
I wouldn't even put him top 20.
And my bias would definitely be showing on that because I love Julian Edelman. I love him a lot.
He was incredible. He is the first ballot Hall of Very Good.
Yeah. Yeah. He may be a guy that, because of team success and because of the numbers he did,
mm-hmm.
that guy probably,
he could make it after a few tries.
Yeah,
sure.
That guy will probably be in Canton at some point.
But I mean, like, Hall of Very Good? Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
Insane. But, and he has moments, too. Mm-hmm. Well, one where he didn't get the ball, but one where he did. And it led to a Super Bowl victory. You know, like he has.
Yeah, for sure.
He has moments. He has numbers, and he has a ton of rings too.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of rings.
Fistful of rings is super useful.
Yeah, but it was really cool. Mike Evans got that.
Yeah, the whole team mobbed him on the field. Yeah, it was great.
Baker Mayfield is becoming more and more likable, and the fact that they went and they put him on the table and said, "Like, if we throw a pick six, and they get a 2-point conversion, we lose this game in overtime."
But we're doing this for him because it also shows you the respect they have for Mike Evans.
Yeah,
like that's what that shows you is that that's a level of greatness both on the field and off the field.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing about Mike and Larry and Tim, you know, talking about Fitzgerald and Brown. You're talking about some of the best and brightest ambassadors of the sport you've ever seen.
It's pretty awesome.
And I think Mike Evans is in that vein. When have you ever heard a negative word from anyone anywhere about Mike Evans?
I can't remember. I know somebody on the text line will.
But you know what I mean?
But like, I can't remember it.
Like that's,
well, you went to Texas A&M, which...
Which, you know.
Makes you question him.
Sure. Yeah. But... I mean,
he's a member of a cult.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Brown went to Notre Dame.
Right. That's not even as bad as the cult of Texas A&M,
it's,
though.
It's up there.
That's just your USC is showing. The Texas A&M cult.
Yeah, it's tough.
Boy.
But again, like in a world where wide receivers are complete pitas, yeah. It's just he's never been one ever.
Have been pitas, like
yeah, it's a pain in the.
Oh, I thought you were talking about. The animal advocacy group.
Yeah, no. PITAs.
I'm like, dang. You're calling people a PETA now. All right. 503-864-6326. This is Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, crazy week 18 in the NFL as it turned out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers said, you know what, we're the ones that don't want to suck the most in the NFC South, and they end up winning that division. 10-7 record for Tampa Bay. That's a good year, especially with, you know, you lose Dave Canales, Baker, and everybody expecting a regression from him. And as you said, dude put up funny numbers as a quarterback this year. Regular season, completed 71% of his passes.
Is that good?
4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns.
Second most touchdowns in franchise history behind Brady's 43 when they won a Super Bowl.
That would be 16 interceptions. Aggressive, but he's a wheeler and dealer. That's what you're going to get from mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield. I love what Baker Mayfield's put out on the field the last 2 years, and he's actually shown that he has grown up, and he's shown remorse for the decisions that he made before, and he's acknowledged, like, dude, I was immature. Like, that's what happens. You grow up. And I love that perspective from Baker, who's 29 years old now. And just think of all the dumb stuff everybody did when they were in their early 20s or teens, like when he ran from the police in Fayetteville, Arkansas, right? Baker Mayfield has shown that he has grown up. He has shown contrition for what he did. And I'm now pulling for Baker Mayfield. I it's a weird full pivot.
Look,
I've
man,
on Baker.
I love my Metal Mondays, but you know what else I love? I love the Baker Mayfield experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, that team is really fun. Jason Licht has done a really good job has done a really good job of drafting, developing. Bucky Irving is having an incredible season. You know,
did he finish with 1,000 yards? I know he was
1,100 yards.
Yeah,
1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns this year. Bucky Irving finished 10th in the National Football League in rushing.
It's a good year,
dude. Look at the running back position in the NFL. And you know what? We'll do that. Think of what the NFL has right now. In kind of the pendulum swinging back towards running the football, and where guys like Bucky Irving are going to be, and the guys that are coming into the league too, because this is going to be a great draft class for running backs. And if you look up and down the league, it is chock full of talented running backs. We'll get to that coming up as the show goes on. But where we got to start hour number two, it is Black Monday in the National Football League. And boy, not as dark as I thought it would be. We have five vacancies in the NFL, only two opening up today. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.